Let's just seek God's face, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee, and through our Saviour's precious name, we thank Thee, O God, for the joy that's ours to come and approach unto Thee. We ask, O God, that You'll help us. Lord, we pray that this morning, as we come to worship Thee, that we, Lord, might know Thy presence and feel the touch of the Lord upon us. So hear and answer prayer. Be with us now. In the Saviour's name we ask. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand together to sing the words of our opening praise, the words of paraphrase number 2, pages 143, if you have a copy of our church hymn book. O God of Bethel, by whose hand Thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. We'll stand together after we get the introduction, please. Let's stand to sing. Let's come again before the Lord in prayer and seek for His presence and for His help amongst us this morning. Let's pray the Lord will speak to all of our hearts as we come to His house today. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee today and we thank Thee, Lord, that the One who has been our help and our strength in ages past is our help and strength in the present. We thank Thee, Lord, today that Thou art the God of Bethel. We thank Thee, O God, today that as we come to Thee, we come, Lord, to Thy house. Lord, we come into Thy presence. We do not, Lord, come, O God, to a man. We do not come, O God, to some ruler. But, O God, we thank Thee today that we come before the Lord of heaven and earth. We thank Thee, Lord, today that Thou art the Ancient of Days. We thank Thee, O God, today that while all around us may change, Lord, while all within us may change, yet, O God, we thank Thee that we come to the One who is unchanging. We thank Thee, Lord, that we come to the One who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, O God, we thank Thee today that our confidence, our faith, our trust, our hope is in Thee. And we pray, O Lord, that today You'll come and speak to all of our hearts. Lord, minister to us, O God, we pray. Lord, how much we need Thee. Lord, we need to feel Thy touch today. Lord, we need to hear Thy voice. Lord, as we come to worship Thee, we, Lord, pray that we might not merely go through motions, but, O God, that this day we might truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Therefore, O God, remove every distracting thought. Take away, Lord, everything that, Lord, would be a hindrance to our worship of Thee. Oh God, we pray that You'll help us, Lord, to ascend the holy hill of Zion this morning with clean hands and with a pure heart. Lord, we pray today for that power, Lord, to worship Thee as we ought to. Our Father, we pray that You'll take up our thanks for Thy presence with us. Lord, for Your goodness and mercy that finds us in the house of God this morning. We ask, O God, that today You'll come be one of our number. O God, we cry unto Thee today for that breath of God, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we have seen the earthly winds over these past few days. We've seen the devastation, Lord, they have brought. But, O God, we cry unto Thee for the wind of God. We cry unto Thee for the breath of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we look to Thee today. O God, we cry unto Thee for that move of the Spirit of the living God. Lord, we are living in such desperate and barren and cold times. But, O God, we thank Thee today that Thou art still in control. We praise Thee, O God, today for the power of the Spirit of the Lord, which is still as powerful as He has ever been. And therefore, O God, we pray that You'll come and bend us and break us. O God, we pray that You'll come and mold us, make us into those people that You desire us to be. Our Father, we pray that You'll help us today, Lord, to shine more brightly for Thee. O God, we pray today for that move of God, the Spirit, in our hearts. Lord, work in us. And then, Lord, working in us, then work through us. Remember this area. We ask, O God, today for Ballyhackamore. We ask, O God, for the entire, Lord, district of East Belfast. And yea, Lord, for our entire city and our country at this time. Lord, we pray that You'll come and raise up that standard once again for truth and for righteousness. Help us, O God, to be those standard bearers in a dark and evil world. Help us, Lord, to shine forth the gospel of saving light. For, Lord, we thank Thee today that the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as the gospel goes forth, Lord, that You'll be pleased, Lord, to save many precious souls. Do a work, O God, we pray, which only Thou canst do. Lord, we pray that You'll bless all who have been enabled to gather in the house of God. We ask, O God, that You'll come and, Lord, meet with us today. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us today. Remember those who are in hospital. Remember, Lord, those who are at home unwell at this time. Lord, draw near to them. Touch them in their bodies, O God, we pray. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll restore them to that desired measure of health and strength. Remember, Lord, those who are downcast. Lord, those who are heavy-hearted. Lord, those who are carrying very heavy burdens. Draw to them today, we pray. And Lord, may they know that in the midst of the storms of life, that there is One who loves them, One who cares for them, One who will meet their every need. And so, our Father, we pray that You'll bless the going forth of Thy Word here in Sandown today, but across our land and across our nation. Lord, remember, Lord, the persecuted church today. Remember, Lord, those who do not have the privileges as we have to gather in a public fashion such as this. Lord, draw to them today. Encourage, O God, we ask of Thee. Lord, those who are being persecuted for their faith, stand with them. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You be pleased, Lord, to deliver them from the tyranny of evil and wicked men. Remember, Lord, our brethren in Ukraine today. Lord, those who love Thee, seeking to serve Thee in very hard and difficult situation. O God, we pray that You'll bless them. And Lord, we pray that they might know what it is to stand for the Lord and give them that strength to continue to stand for Thee. Lord, blow upon, Lord, evil powers today. And Heavenly Father, we pray that the gospel might run across that country and, yea, across Russia and, Lord, across Eastern Europe and across this continent as a whole. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll send the reforming fires once again. And Lord, we pray that this land of ours as well, Lord, might burn with the preaching of the gospel of Christ. So, our Father, bless us, we ask. Continue with us now. And Lord, hear and answer these our petitions, for we ask them in Thy name and for Thine honor and glory alone. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you at this stage, please, to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, and the chapter 14. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're going to read together from verse number 22. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, please, and the verse 22. Let's hear the word of the Lord as we break into this chapter, Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee in the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Amen. We'll end there at verse 33, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. At this stage, let me welcome you warmly in our Savior's great name to our morning worship service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. We welcome you warmly. Those who are visiting with us as well, we welcome you today. I wasn't exactly sure who or how many we would have this morning, given the week that it has been, but we're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. And again, you gathered with us for this time of public worship. Also, to those who are watching online, we welcome you in the Savior's name as well. Can I just remind you, please, of the matters that are before us for the week that lies in the will of the Lord before us. We have our Sunday school over in Hollywood this afternoon at 2:30. Please do remember that. Then we have our season of prayer back here at the church, 6 p.m. This evening. That's followed by our gospel service at 6:30. Now, I'm making an appeal to you to come back for our gospel service tonight. I can't appeal to you that you're going to hear great preaching. You won't. But come to the house of God again the second time. 6:30 for our gospel service this evening. And our brother James Gailey will be here to sing as well. We're going to look tonight at the subject of the great day of his wrath. A most frightening subject, actually, when we consider it, the wrath of God. And we want to deal with that subject this evening in the gospel. So come plan to be with us for the gospel at 6:30. Then Tuesday night, we have the Explorers Club for the boys and girls, 7 p.m. here Tuesday in the church. Then for our elders and our deacons, we have a full committee meeting on Tuesday night as well at 8. Then on Thursday night, here in the church at 8 o'clock, we have a special deputation meeting. Our brother Donald Fleming will be here on behalf of Friends in Action Ministries. Donald, as you know, works in many countries in Eastern Europe and has just returned from Ukraine. And you will know, of course, that Ukraine is much in the world's news and media at this time and really the center of world attention. And Donald has just come back from Ukraine, and there is this opportunity for him to come this Thursday night to update us and to relate to us of the work of God there in a very hard and difficult place. So I encourage you, come and be with us again Thursday night, 8 o'clock, for that special deputation meeting. And there will be an offering as well, and you'll be able to support our brother Donald as he comes. So do remember that, please, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Then on Friday night, our youth fellowship meets again here in the church at 8 p.m., and we're continuing the studies on the fruit of the Spirit, and Paul will be speaking on the first three of those that we find in Galatians chapter 5. So remember that, please, Friday night, 8 o'clock for our youth fellowship. Then on Saturday morning, that is the annual memorial service, that will be held as normal down in Royal Avenue. This year it is open to everyone, and we encourage you to go stand with Violet and the families for that special memorial service. I announced last Sunday it was at 10 a.m. That time has changed now to 11 a.m. Please note the change of time, 11 a.m. Saturday morning for that annual memorial service down in Royal Avenue. Next Sunday, 10:15, Sunday school and Bible class. Then we have our season of prayer at 11 a.m. Morning worship, 11:30, and our gospel service at 6:30. I'll be here to preach, God willing, and our brother Stephen Anderson will be along to sing. The Missionary Council retiring offering last week came to a total of £322. We want to thank you for giving so generously to the work of God for the Missionary Council last Lord's Day. Also, the final total that has been received for the work in Uganda has come to a total of £1,330. Do remember those who need our prayers, again, still many in the congregation who are unwell at this time. Remember them, please. Remember our brother Sammy Lewis as he remains in hospital. Pray for Sammy. Pray the Lord will touch him as well. Richard got home, and do remember Richard in your prayers, but he may have to go back in again. So do remember Richard, please, in your prayers, and others who need prayer at this time. Remember our Bible conference. That's coming up now very shortly, first weekend in the month of March, Thursday the 3rd commencing, and Friday the 4th, and then also the Lord's Day the 6th of March. And the Reverend Roger Higginson from our church in Lisburn will be the special preacher. And so come and plan to be with us for those special meetings. He'll be taking up the subject of revival. So remember that, that's Thursday the 3rd, Friday the 4th, those nights at 8 o'clock, then 11:30, 6:30 on the Lord's Day. There are no offerings being received, as you know, at this stage, but you can place your offerings and tithes in the boxes as you leave. There is also a Missionary Council update leaflet. I'm not sure were these given out on the way in. They are, so you have got one. Take them with you. If you want more, then please do that. It gives you an update of all the missionary works, and so please do take that and pray much for them. Remember our brother David as he continues there in Uganda for the next number of weeks. I want to read to you a statement on behalf of our presbytery, and it reads this, that the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster gives thanks to Almighty God for looking upon our nation in mercy, withdrawing the most extreme symptoms of COVID-19 pandemic, which have caused death and serious illness. We are grateful for the removal of all statutory restrictions upon our public worship, and are authorizing our sessions and committees to take the necessary steps transitioning our people back to normality. We continue to pray for all those who have been affected by the pandemic through bereavement and illness, that they will know grace and comfort. And in relation to that, you will know that our committee is meeting this Tuesday evening in the providence of God. That meeting had been planned, and so we will make further announcements as we have them. Let's turn back to our hymn books. I keep saying turn back. Turn up, look up. To the screen. 381 is our next hymn, page 330, if you have a copy of our hymn books. When upon life's billows your tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Again, we'll stand to sing this hymn, please. Let's stand and sing. Turning back again, please, to Matthew chapter 14. I want to speak this morning on the subject of till the storm passes by. We'll consider most of this passage together, but perhaps we could center our thoughts just before we come to prayer. And the words we find in verse 27, Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, and there we read, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid." Let's just seek God's face, please, again in a word of prayer as we come to His word for this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to Thee again today. Lord, we count our many, many blessings. And truly, Lord, it will surprise us what the Lord has done for us. Thou art a gracious God, a merciful God, a good God. And oh God, we pray that You'll help us today to count our blessings. Lord, even as we consider the Word of God afresh, we pray, Lord, that You'll come and speak to our hearts today. Reveal Thyself to us. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll tune our hearts just now into the Word of God. We ask, O God, that You'll open our hearts to the Word. We pray, Lord, that You'll open this Word to our hearts today. Lord, by the help of God, the Holy Spirit, come, speak to our hearts. We pray, Lord, that we'll hear the Word, that we'll do the Word. And Lord, that we'll take encouragement from the Word of God this morning. So be with us and help us now. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. So, this past week, we have had not just one storm, but two storms came our way. First of all, we had Storm Dudley coming on Wednesday, and then Storm Eunice arriving on Friday. And both brought with them their own damage, their own destruction, and sadly for some, death. Of course, we are to expect storms and high winds during the winter period. They are nothing new. Storms are forecast. Then they come. They unleash their power. And then the storm passes by. And as we've said, they're nothing new. We are all acquainted and we all know about storms. We have experienced them in our lives. In the Scriptures, there are different examples of storms as well. Jonah knew what it was to be in a storm. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, often during His earthly ministries, He and His disciples knew what it was to be in a storm. And in our Scripture reading this morning, there was another storm. Christ has just performed in Matthew 14 the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. He has been busy amongst the people. He's been seeing their needs, meeting their needs, providing for the people. And then for a time, He commands His disciples to take their leave of Him. And He commands them to go away as He seeks to get alone and withdraws Himself for a time from the eye of public ministry. But as He does so, He sends His disciples into a storm. He commands them to get into a boat to make their way across the sea, and as they do so, they encounter a storm. And they go from a time of blessing, they go from a time of witnessing the power of the Lord and a demonstration of the might of God right into the midst now of a storm. And you know how descriptive and how accurate that is of the life of the child of God. What a picture that is of our lives. Because one minute we can be on the mountaintop of blessing and everything going well, and the very next we're in the storms of life. We're never too far from trouble or trial. And the disciples, have witnessed this great miracle. They are rejoicing that God met the need of the people, but the very next minute they are in turmoil. They are in trouble. They're in great difficulty. Dear Christian, this morning, as we sail the seas of our earthly journey, there will be times when we will face the storms as well. And so I want us very simply this morning to look at this passage of Scripture and see what the Lord would have to say to us as we consider the subject of till the storm passes by. I want you to see, first of all, in Matthew chapter 14, in the verse 22, that we are governed in the storm by God's providence. We are governed by God's providence. Right at the very outset, it is important to know that the storms of our lives, just as well as the sunshine of our lives, are governed and are controlled by the providence, by the plans, and by the purposes of God. Look at verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side. He constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him. That word constrained there is very intense. It means to compel. It means of necessity that they had to get into that ship and to cross the sea. Of necessity, they had to go that way. And they did the bidding of the Master. But as they did the bidding of the Master, they now find themselves in a storm. Because look at verse 24. But the ship was now, in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Now they are in a storm in the middle of the sea. The waves are against them. The wind is against them. But all the time, they are in the will, the plan, the purpose, the providence of God. You see, that storm that day was no mistake. That storm that arose that night on the sea, it did not take the Lord by surprise. It most certainly took the disciples by surprise, but not the Lord. And you see, folks, this storm, it was not incidental, but rather it was providential. We believe in a God who is sovereign. We believe in a God who plans all things. And away in eternity past, God had planned this storm. God had planned that His people at that particular time in their lives would be in that situation. It was the pathway that He had ordained for His disciples to pass through. God in His inscrutable wisdom planned this storm. And He planned it for a purpose, because God always works according to a purpose. The Lord was in sovereign control as He sent His disciples into that storm. Dear believer, this morning, there are times when the Lord constrains us to go into a storm. There are times when the Lord constrains us according to His plan and purpose for our lives to experience a time when it seems that all is against us. There are times when God, according to His plan and purpose and providential purposes for our lives, constrains us to go into a storm. A storm that we would never choose to endure. A storm that we would never want to endure of ourselves. But there are times when the Lord purposes such a storm in our lives. You see, the Master, He designed the storm. He permitted the storm. And He's in control of the storm. I want you to turn back with me for a moment to the book of Psalms. I want you to turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. And listen to the words of the Holy Spirit speaking through the psalmist concerning His power. Psalm 107 in the verse 24. The verse 24 says these, "See the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." Look at verse 25. "For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." He commandeth. The Lord commandeth, and more than that, He raiseth up the stormy wind, which lifteth the waves thereof. That day in the Sea of Galilee, the Lord commanded the wind to lift up the waves against that boat that contained His disciples. God, who is the master of the white waves, and the most remarkable thing that we got to remember that in this incident that we have recorded for us in Matthew chapter 14 is that these disciples were right slam bang in the center of God's will for their life. And yet in the center of God's will they were in a storm. You see, this puts to play the whole health and wealth gospel that we hear of today. You know how it's pervading America. It's very quickly coming over here as well. And it tells us that if you're in some sort of adverse situation, well, you're not in the will of God and there's something that's happened in your life. And everything's against you for a reason. And you must be out of God's will. And you're not following God's plan for your life. There must be something wrong. These disciples in Matthew chapter 14 were right in the place God wanted them to be. And dear believer, this morning in a storm in your life, as you seek to live for God, as you seek to follow God, as you seek to witness for God and work for God, you might be right now in a storm. In a storm. And that's where God would have you to be. That's where God wants you to be. Now I know, of course, there are storms of correction. We spoke about Jonah. That certainly was a storm of correction for him. But this was not a storm of correction for these disciples because they were doing the very will of God. They weren't rebelling against God. They weren't saying, "Well, Lord, I'm not going into this ship. I'm not getting onto that boat and cross that sea." No, they did what the Lord wanted them to do. And you see, as you follow the Lord and as you obey the command of God and do the bidding of God, there will be times in His perfect will that we will encounter storms. As the Lord providentially plans and purposes our way, that will mean that there will be times of sorrow as well. You know, I'm sure by now, the words of that lovely poem, The Weaver. I think it was that poem that we put out on a little card during the times of lockdown. And how the weaver weaves through the threads and the different colors of thread. And that poem tells us that the dark threads are as needful. In the weaver's skillful hand, as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern that He has planned. We would want the threads of gold and silver all our life. We would never want the dark threads, but they're as needful as the threads of gold and silver. And in the midst of a storm right now, remember that you're governed by God's providence. God's sovereignty is the most soothing and comforting aspect of the nature of God. You will have heard me say that time after time. Because to think that under the heaviest of our burdens, that they're ordained of God. That in the greatest of our trials, while we do not understand them, they're planned by God. His providential plans for our lives teaches us that there are times when we will have to endure a storm. We are governed by God's providence. But I want us to see something more here in the storm. That we are also growing by God's plan. One of the ways that our faith grows, our spiritual life will increase and enlarge, is often through the storms of life. I want you for a moment just to think back on times when life was hard. Life was very difficult. Something happened, perhaps, in your life, your home, your family. Were those not the times when you trusted God more than ever before? Were those not the times when your faith grew like never before? It was A.W. Tozer who said that a faith like a muscle grows by stretching. And oftentimes the Lord has to stretch our faith in order to grow our faith. You see, these disciples that day, they were being put to the test in the midst of that storm. They were terrified. They were troubled. But you see, the Lord desired them to be trusting. He wanted them to trust Him more and to see more their great need of Him. Sometimes we can become self-reliant and self-dependent. And at times the Lord has to work in our lives in order to bring us back and cause us to trust Him more. You see, faith, our faith, like a roll of film, develops in the dark. Young people, you probably not have a notion what a roll of film is. But old boys like me, remember the times when you took the little roll of film out of the camera, took it into the chemist, and about 6 months later you went and got the photographs. They were sent off to be developed, and they were developed in the dark. And sometimes our faith, like that roll of film, develops in the dark. And in the darkness of the storms, our faith grows. Growing even in spite of the affliction, growing even in spite of the trouble. Because you see, that's the Lord's desire. That we would trust Him more. In the hardness and the harshness of the storm, God gives us opportunities to prove Him. And to delight ourselves in Him all the more. And Joshua and Caleb brought back that good report from Canaan. And the other 10 spies, they refused to believe. And they all pointed to the problems. They all pointed to the difficulties. But it was Joshua and Caleb that pointed to the delights. And in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 8 we read, they said, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey, And they said, only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. They are bread for us, their defense is not departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. This was a dark time. They were entering into a land that they thought would be the land of their death. And sadly, 10 wanted to go back. But Joshua and Caleb wanted to go forward. And as they went forward, they proved God. You see, those things that look to be our problems, they are actually the food by which we grow by. When we feed even on the problems of life and the pains of life, we grow by them. Our life is enhanced and also enlarged, especially in the storms of life. And how often does the Lord have to bring our backs against the wall in order for us to look up? How often there are times when the Lord has to put us on our back to cause us to look up. They were growing by God's plan. But I wanted to see as well, not only were they governed by God's providence and growing by God's plan, I wanted to see as well that they were graced by God's prayers. Look at verse 23. Matthew 14, verse 23. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. Where was the Lord when the disciples were on the ship in the storm? He was on the mountain praying for them. They didn't see him. They couldn't see his figure bowed before his Father, praying for his people. As he poured out his heart, as the Lord prayed that his people might be strengthened and sustained through the storm, they didn't see it, but he was praying for them. Dear believer, you may not see the Lord praying for you in your storm, but be assured He is praying for you. He sees you in your difficulties. He prays for you in your difficulties. And while you're in the storm, He's praying. What a blessed thought this morning. What a blessed thought to know that the Lord prayed for you. The Lord prayed for me. We're on His prayer list. He never forgets our name. He never misses to pray for us. It's the most comforting thought to have that as we pass through the hardships and the storms of life, that we have one in the heavens, not on a mountain, but on the throne praying for us. It is very encouraging when we pass through storms and hard times in our life and God's people come and they just say, we're praying for you. That's very encouraging. I'm thankful for the spirit of prayer that there is in this congregation. We are a family. We pray for one another. May that ever continue and increase. But what a greater thing it is today to know my Savior prays for me. He never stops praying for me. He'll always pray for me. Now, great high priestly prayer of John 17, verse 9, he says, I pray for them. And the sense of those words is that he's continually, constantly praying for his people. Today, in the midst of the storms, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer, our friend is praying for us. He is calling you by name. He is praying for you in your situation. He knows your need far better than you know it yourself. He knows exactly what you're going through. And you know what? He knows exactly what you're going to go through in this week that lies before you. He prays for you. At the cross of Calvary, Christ's great work of redemption was completed. But in heaven today, his work of intercession continues. He never ceases. He never stops. In your storm, in your pain, in your affliction, Christ is praying for you. And those disciples that night on the Sea of Galilee, in the midst of the storm, the wind was contrary, the waves were lashing against the ship, yet the Lord was praying for them. Maybe you think today, no one sees, no one knows what I'm going through. No one knows the storm that I am enduring right now, and maybe no one does know. But he knows. He sees. He prays. As we come into verse number 24, we see not only are we governed by God's providence, growing by God's plan, and graced by God's prayers, but we're also gladdened by God's presence. Verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went on to them. What a precious thought. He came to them. He stood with them. He went on to them. These disciples, perhaps now fearing the worst. The wind was against them. The storm was not stopping. They were rowing for all they were worth. They were trying to make it to land, but it was making no difference. Their hands, no doubt, were sore and blistered. They shout, row harder, row stronger, we're going under. But then, all of a sudden, Jesus went on to them. Notice when he came, verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is often referred to as the darkest period of the night. Those hours between 3 and 6 a.m. just before the dawn was the darkest time. And in their darkest hour, Christ came to them. Christ came to them to remind them that he was still in control. At the very darkest point of their lives, when they feared they were going under and all was gone, Christ came. The Savior's presence gladdened their hearts. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him. Oh, dear believer, this morning, may we see the Savior in the midst of our storms. May we never lose sight of Christ in the midst of the storms and the troubles and the afflictions of our life. May we see him. Notice how he comes to them. Notice how he sees them. What's he doing? He's walking on the sea. He's walking on the sea. He came walking on the very thing that they feared the most, the sea, the raging sea. And he did that to show them that he was in control of the sea. He was greater in the storm. And no matter what you face, what I might face in life, Christ is greater than any storm. Christ is greater than any trouble. Christ is greater than any darkness. The very thing that the people feared most was the very thing, the very vehicle that the Lord used to come to his people in their hour of need. His timing was perfect. He stepped in just at the right time. Dear believer, in the midst of the storms of life, make sure you find the Savior. Don't lose out with Christ in the midst of the storms. It's very easy when the storms come and the afflictions come to leave off following the Lord. Dear believer, find Christ and his word as you endure the storm until that storm passes by. In the storm, you need his presence more than ever. Don't lose out with the Lord, even though the burdens may increase, but rather stay close to him, stay in communion with him like never before. It was the Puritan Thomas Brooks who said that the grand design of God in all the afflictions that befall his people is to bring them nearer and closer to himself. That was the plan of God for these disciples, that they might prove God in the midst of that storm that a way they would never have proved it on the mountain. We are governed by God's providence in the storms. We are growing by God's plan. We are graced by God's prayers. And we're gladdened by God's presence. But finally, notice that we're also guarded by God's power. Look at verse 27. Verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them. The context is that in verse 26, they were fearful. They thought it was a spirit. They cried out for fear. And straightway, these disciples were fearful. But the Lord spoke, and that fear was gone. And straightway spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. You see, his was the voice they needed to hear in the midst of the storms of life. It was that voice of authority. He didn't leave them in their disaster, but rather he came to them and proclaimed to them his great reality and said, It is I. This was the Lord of heaven and earth. This was the Creator God. This was the God who created the seas. This was the God who created the wind. He said, It is I. Be not afraid. Was anything too hard for the Lord? Was that night too dark, but the Lord couldn't work? No. The Lord came and said, It is I. It is I. He said that to assure them they weren't going under. Rather, they were going through. We spoke of this last week as well. In the storms of life, the Lord's purpose is not that we would go under, but that we would go through. And the storm would pass, and a better day would come. The Lord still had a work for these people to do. They still had many other souls to reach and win for the gospel. They still had many more miles to walk as they followed the Savior on his earthly ministry. But they were going to have to go through this storm. And the Lord says, I'm going to bring you through it. It is I, be not afraid. He said, do not fear the storm, but rather trust in me. We come down to verse 32. Verse 32, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. The storm was calmed. The Prince of Peace brought peace to his people. He was the master of the sea. He only had to speak the word. The storm would stop. Dear believer, this morning he would say to you, it is I. Be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid. When you do not understand the ways of God, and you cannot comprehend why God in his providence would allow you to pass this way, he says, just simply trust me. He's got this storm under control. He's in control of it. He will bring you through. The wise man, book of Ecclesiastes, reminds us that to everything there is a season. And there is a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a season, there's a time, there's a purpose. And you know what? The Lord makes everything beautiful in his time. The storms will come, the storms will be fierce, they will be hard to endure, but Christ, Christian, remember this, Christ is your rock, Christ is your strength in every time of storm. As I close this morning, do you know Christ as your rock? Do you know Christ as your refuge in that time of storm? Where do you run to? Where do you go whenever the storms come? Oh, that today you might run to Christ. You don't know him as your Savior. You're not saved. Run to Christ today. He'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. He'll protect you. He'll give you the strength to stand. He'll give you the strength to go through. Come to know him today as your Savior. For those that are saved, may we continue to trust Christ till that storm passes by. As we go through the storm, may we trust him more. May we lean upon him more. May we seek him more. And in the midst of the storms, may we prove him more. They saw him. May we see the Savior even in the midst of the storms of life. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid.